Welcome to Turning Point. I'm Scott Gattun. With me is my co-host, Anne Marie. As always, we've got a great show for you today. We will be speaking with one of the best event thrower planners in Chicago, Red Suede Shoes founder Michael Donnelly. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, Scott. Happy to be here. Hi, Anne Marie.
Halo.
It's good
How
to
are
see you?
You
again.
You too.
It's been a little while.
I know.
We said that the last time. I don't know what the heck's going on here.
You can see each other once a week at your show.
No, we used to see each other like three or four times. Like it was like too much.
Because
and now
it wasn't planned, and now it's planned. You have a setup time every week.
Maybe that's it. Well, this show's going to be awesome. One of the easiest interviews we've ever done because we get to talk about like parties, events, booze, bad guests. I mean, this is
this is your wheelhouse.
This is my. Yeah. This is your wheelhouse too. You just don't say it to people in their face. We leave and then it's like,
No, we just leave early.
Well, yeah.
And then go get drinks after.
And then talk about why we left. And then go back and see if they still have any beer left. And then leave.
Or 1871 cooler. Whatever.
Dude, you know what? Yeah, why not? I mean, you pay like a whopping $350 a month. I might as well be able to raid everything.
$350? You're lucky.
Well, some of us aren't as office space haver type of person. Anyway, Michael, so why don't you tell us a little bit about Red Suede Shoes and what it is and events and so forth.
good
Who
start
are
there.
You and why are you here?
Yes, Red Suede Shoes is an event management and consulting company. We started back in July of 2014 after I left Tech Week because I was attending all these events in the community and really seeing the value of getting to know people in the room and creating relationships and how that created a ton of business. But the people hosting the events were always stressed out, running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And it led to that kind of terrible event that you're speaking of because the guests can understand and get the vibe from the host when things aren't going very well. And it's a natural thing for me. I come from a very large Southside family, similar to Anne Marie.
Southside.
And a Sox fan, so.
Yes, as well. Sox fan as well. Yep, done some events with the Sox, which is exciting.
Oh, thanks for
that. So my goal and what I found out there was that I have this skill set of hosting good events, of keeping my cool when there's a million fires going on and having fun while doing it, and that's something that I can offer people. And that's where Red Suede Shoes was born, with the idea that business gets done when people have fun. So if you want to connect with your clients and host events, which most people know they should be doing now, an easy way to do that is to hire someone like me to help you save money, time, and headache.
Yeah, and you actually are one of the more resourceful people.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and all
about
the events you have are super fun.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. I've actually seen you take a company that had not many people showing up to an event and increasing it at least 500%.
Yeah, I mean, we went from an average of 50 to 80 people to 150 to 250 people at a monthly meetup for one of my clients. And one of my favorite events that I did was the Tribe launch party. The founder, Henry, who I think you've had on one of your shows.
He's been on the show, and yeah. I think Anne-Marie knows those guys a little bit.
Yeah. Just a little. May
Just
have been the lead investor.
Well, whatever.
It's fine.
Henry
that was
said,
a great one, though.
Yeah, Henry said at his party, Michael, this is great. I forgot we were having this until yesterday, and there's 130 people here that like us. This is awesome. This is the least stressful thing I've done since I started my company.
No, Henry. They like me.
Yeah. Right. No, Henry right. And Sam, both in Oliver and all the guys over there are really great.
Very cool.
That is really cool.
Well, I guess one of the things that I think most people would wonder is why Red Suede Shoes? What's with the name there? And you're wearing Red Suede Shoes today, by the way.
I am.
Yeah.
Awesome.
How much did your closet increase with Red Suede Shoes?
I'm up to about 10 pairs now because you have to have the casual that you can run around to set up the event and then the stiletto so you're looking boss when you're running around during the event.
Right.
So that's in my marketing budget. Red Suede Shoes meant party to me. You know, always a fan of Elvis and Blue Suede Shoes, and red was my favorite color, is my favorite color. So it was a natural synergy. Like 10 years ago, I'm doodling in a notebook and I'm writing, I'm going to have an event company one day and it's going to be called Red Suede Shoes. That was all I knew. And
that's so important right there.
Yeah,
setting that
point.
Intention.
Mm-hmm.
And following through with it and holding yourself accountable, that's awesome.
It's really funny, though. I didn't realize that all of those pieces came together until last year when I'm looking back at some old journals being like, hey, where have I come from? And 2005, like May, it's like Red Suede Shoes doodled and all these pretend logos and everything set up. And when I left Tech Week, I left on a Friday, and on that Monday I had two phone calls asking from former clients from Tech Week that said, we really want to work with you still. What can we do? And I was like, yeah, hold on. Let me think about that for a second. And within a week, I incorporated.
What
as
would
an
you?
LLC.
We always yeah, try to find it here on the show, and obviously the name of the show is Turning Points. We always try to find that moment where it's like, how do I bring this all together and make that pivot and make sure it's the right decision for me? What was that like? You were at Tech Week. You left. How did you? don't know what the right word is, how to phrase this, but like, how did you know exactly, like, yes, this is it. Red Suede Shoes was a doodle, maybe an event company, but how did you know how you wanted to build it and be able to actually capitalize on what people wanted from you?
That's a great question. Yeah, it's a really great question. I think it came from the fact that I did have those two calls. It was a very nice, positive affirmation that I knew I wanted to leave, and I knew where my value was in community and connections and bringing people together, and that was events overall. And when I had those two phone calls, it was like, hey, self, this is your dream on a silver platter being handed to you. You're walking out of a job, and instead of getting a job offer, you're getting two potential clients to start that company that you've been thinking about. So it took a while to get everything up and running. Starting a business isn't as easy as some people like to make it look like.
No, it's not.
And then
I love it. So. I'm a masochist, though, so that's fine.
But you're also really good at starting all different types of businesses and guiding people through. And Anne-Marie has been a great mentor for me in a lot of different pieces of this, and a connector and influencer in the community. So with starting it, events are my bread and butter. That was the main thing. But the services that we've added since are just from listening to the market and listening to your clients and really opening up doors based on if someone asks you for something and you think you can do it, you say yes and you just get it done. So we now have a social media arm. We're a bit of a social media agency. We're doing marketing consulting, brand consulting. My experience with Tech Week of selling sponsorship, I now bring that to my clients and help them curate a sponsorship guide and connect them.
It's a turning.
Sponsorship.
Oh, and well, Scott and I have talked about that, actually. We're talking about some events for
you
guys.
We're trying to keep our sponsorship dialogue off the channel here, Henry. I don't know what's going on here. I'm like, turning point.
But
yes.
Your sponsors are great. I just met Michael from Insperity out there. He's talking about doing some events. And when we started chatting about events, something that he brought up was that you have to take care of your people. So understanding that value of taking care of your people is what Red Suede Shoes and what business getting done when you're having fun is all about.
I think another thing that's interesting, and you've got a little bit of news that you're going to break for us here about something coming up. Why don't you share with that, and then I'll get into the next piece here.
Yeah. So, Anne-Marie, we've talked about this a little bit, but this is probably the first time that we're talking about it publicly. For 2016, Red Suede Shoes. I think you guys know Rick Gruber. He was on the show a few shows ago. Yeah, Brandless, and talked about some big things happening. And one of those is that we are being acquired along with two other companies, and we're going to build a... Well, am I allowed to say kick-ass?
It's too late now.
I say ass all the time, so go ahead.
Go with it.
A kick-ass resource for all of our current clients. So everything will stay the same as far as what we're providing. We're just now having a bigger toolbox.
What I was going to get to on that is congratulations, first
off. Yes, and that's awesome. the Brandless Group. Yeah.
That's what I was going to get at. Is I think what is really interesting and cool about this is we talked with Rick about this at Brandless, and you mentioned a minute ago the social media aspect and being able to farm a crowd of people, supporters, followers, whatever. The experiential marketing now that you are capable of providing so that you can actually handle, like, we'll give you the branding, we're going to give you some logo, we're going to help you get, pitch lines out and all the way that you want to be seen and heard, your vision statement, etc. We also are going to throw amazing parties.
Yeah.
We're also going to share and spread the word on media throughout those amazing parties. It's like the perfect little bouncy rubber ball.
It's like
an
incubator kind of, you know what I mean? Like how we're doing what we're doing with Turning Point.
There's a lot of synergy there, which is why we're apparently having a conversation about sponsorship after the show. But no, it's it is. There's. I feel like every
it's nice to go to one spot.
It is.
And that's what we found. We had clients that we were working with together already and just kind of passing them back and forth, and it would get confusing and trying to bill and share rates and pass referral fees. So the other groups that we brought in are an SEO expert and a qualitative research group. So now we can take everything that you were talking about on the front end and then analyze all the data and give that back to you to be able to then kick ass again next venture.
It's and you obviously touched upon how it makes things easier on the back end for you guys to operate, but from a consumer value standpoint, I think because of all of the different medias that we have to be on, whether it's I want to be on TV, I want to be in print, I want to be in digital, I want to be on social media. Oh, by the way, there's seven different types of social media that we're on. Companies get spread, kind of scatter like a shotgun.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to have a point of interaction with people. And kind of what we created here with Turning Point, I mean, it's basically you have to have a one whole controlled media front so that people can access and experience your brand. And then once they get past that period of whether or not they like you and they feel like we fit, then they can experience working with you. And if they really like that, then they can come back and share and be a part of the media. And it becomes like a full circle. And, bringing the event space, that's the next thing. It's experiential.
Well, yeah,
it's
and
cool.
Also the positive ecosystem that we work within. I mean, the people that you decided to align yourself with are
Yeah, you did. We almost put Michael to work. Almost put Michael to work there with a beep button.
They're very awesome,
inspirational people.
I would absolutely agree with that.
Michael,
I'm very
you bring
excited.
The south side out of me. Can't help it.
Well, okay, so let's start having a little bit of fun here before we shut down the shop. Speaking of south side, you're a Sox fan?
Yes.
Okay. Amory, favorite White Sox player of all time?
Canerco.
Oh, PK.
Yes, absolutely. Pauly. That's the jersey I have.
You're going to take two?
I have both? To. I mean, I'm not going to change my mind just because someone else agrees.
Lumber sexual. he's got a dad bod. He's got like, yeah, I think he dude, that dude could like.
Who is the coach right now for Michigan, University of Michigan?
John Harbaugh.
I like him too.
John Harbaugh is once dude.
I don't
those
know him.
Khakis.
I'll have to look him up. That's right. I'll Google him.
He's fun
to watch when he gets lit up.
He's crazy. My favorite White Sox player of all time is Joe Creedy. He is my dude. I was Minnesota man. He's my man. So, And I got some good Mark Burley party stories before he was married. But we'll have to take that off the air. They were pretty crazy.
You know, it was really neat when I was in the. Not that I like to tell anybody this, but we're talking about the Sox. When I was in the St. Patrick's Day parade, Queen Court.
Ooh. I know.
They let us walk
down
the field. We took a picture with Ozzie Guillen and ended up in the World Series booklet.
Oh, that's
cool.
Oh,
that's awesome.
You're Ozzie. Famous. I want an autograph of that later.
Yeah. I'm five.
You could throw
really
the party.
Bad.
You could. Oh, we talked about this. Yes,
yeah,
this is
like, I was getting interviewed and they were like, "So, how much Irish are you?" And I'm like, "That is the rudest question." I was the only one that was brown. Everybody else was
and they obviously
red hair.
I was like brown.
And obviously they're poorly educated if they ask you like how much Irish is you. Like
right.
You know, like
you is.
Anyway, yeah. You can throw the party for this. This is gonna be a good time.
I'm looking forward to
one
it.
One of the questions I have for you is I think Amory we've talked about this quite a bit, but what is the signature that you think of the signature of a great event?
Oh yeah.
I would say it's the white glove experience. It's showing up and feeling like you're their top guest there. When you walk in, you're not waiting in line for drinks. You walk in and there's a greeter cocktail. The person hosting the event smiles and says hi and makes time to at least say hello to you and ask how you're doing. You can change the venues. You can change the experiential side, all of those things. There's a million new things happening every day. I read up on them with all the newsletters and all that. But it's really creating that feeling. And then alternatively, it leads to a bit of FOMO for people who don't get to come. So as the person hosting the event, you want people to fear of missing out. Do you like my FOMO?
I was going to actually say it, but I was going to let you finish the sentence. For those of us who are not cool, what is hashtag FOMO?
Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
So if you
I
create
have FOMO
that.
You actually have
I think I'm the king of FOMO.
I get it sometimes, especially in throwing events. I'm like, wait, Amory, you're going to a party? I wasn't invited.
Yeah, you do that to me a lot, too. That's funny.
So with that, it's creating that experience where people always want to be there.
Well,
I think that's an awesome answer.
I was going to say, I mean, from a guest experience, I think it summed it up perfectly because I wouldn't have said it that way. I would have I would have said all of the symptoms of what you just said, which obviously,
when all those things can change, right? All the pieces, the moving parts of an event, it really depends on your goal and your target audience. But when it comes down to it, it's about how you feel and how you guys feel when
just
you want to leave a party.
Just as the person that, it's like treating everybody with respect and realizing everyone's a guest in honor.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
That's
like
very
that.
Cool. Well, on the same side, not operationally speaking, what should we look out for when we walk in and be like the signs of like, this is going to suck?
The layout. I think when you look at a room, you can tell if
by people... layout, you mean people, right?
Well, of course. You got a bunch of weirdies. Hit the road. Hit
be
the bricks.
Careful with this one.
No, I mean the layout of the venue. If you walk into a room and there's a pile of coats in the corner and everyone's kind of knocking into each other and there's tables everywhere, it's really important that you allow for the flow of guests to or the guests to kind of move throughout the space.
Planet throwers.
You're the best planet thrower in Chicago.
I can't help it. To move throughout the space because that enables them to talk with other people, to network, and networking's intimidating. Talking to people and walking up, it's a vulnerable experience. So finding the opportunity cumbersome because there's a table in front of you and there's a backpack that you tripped over and all of those other things really change the dynamic of how you're approaching the situation because you're inside your head. Some people can get through that very easily. You know, I'm pretty extroverted, so I've done okay, but it bothers bothers me is something like I'm looking and you'll see someone in the corner, like, not really knowing where to go because they grabbed a seat, and now they're like, oh, well, what do I do? So I think the layout of an event is the first thing that you can see, and then secondary to that is probably just the people's faces. Like, if people are smiling and laughing and having fun and it's genuine, then you're like, oh, I want to be here. And to create that experience, it's making sure there isn't a line for the bar, making sure if you're serving beer and wine, you have a couple ready to go before people walk in. Like, those are just easy things that you can ask your bar staff to really take care of for
you. I think what you do really well, too, is making sure that you are able to keep everybody's contact information. And then the name tags and everything else like that. I mean, I've been at events where you put your business cards into something and you end up winning X. You know, they do that at Mindspring. You know, I think that's really important because at the end of the day, you're still able to increase your network and be able to vet through yourself of, you know, what's the best alignment as far as, you know, a business partner, somebody you want to do business with.
Yeah, and saying thank you to the people who came, that's a nice way to be able to start a second touch point and develop that relationship. A lot of times I've had events where there's 200 people there, so I don't get a chance to talk to every single person in the room, but looking through that list later and say, oh, this person came, shooting them a personal note and saying, really glad you got to stop by, sorry we didn't get to chat, but maybe we can grab a coffee after.
So a couple things on that. One, Amory, you brought up, and then Michael, you, that was really professionally stated. I was not.
Didn't she like run for office or something like that?
Like, I, there was like four different places there where I was thinking, what, like faces, friendly, happy faces. I'm just thinking, like, I mean, that's one way to put it.
You can't see faces by the time you get to that event anyway.
That is
a couple shots before.
I don't know what you're
Take
talking about.
Take the edge off.
You know, you see faces that maybe you don't like, and you just kind of, like, I was telling this story actually yesterday. I was out and I was telling a guy, I went to a networking party for my graduate school. It was like a, you know, alumni reunion type of thing. And there's one individual, I'm not going to say their name, that I don't like. And I went like out of my way to go to this event. Like, I don't make a lot of them. So I go in and there's a revolving door when you come in. And I went in the revolving door and I saw his face and I kept going around that revolving door. And I never even went to the event. It was amazing. I literally went as the first face I saw. I just spun around and out the door.
And I'm out.
So awesome.
And then people emailed like, did you go? I was like, because you're on the, your name was signed in.
Yeah. I popped in for a second.
I popped in for a second.
Oh, my gosh. I hope that they have that on camera somewhere.
Some security guard is laughing at me.
You really don't like that person that much that you would change
there's gonna
the
be
whole
a gift.
Entire night?
It was done. The idea that I had to explain, like, hey, what are you up to? That conversation wasn't going to happen today.
Not
even
today.
Even at my age, which we don't need to say, I love when you see people.
29.
I'm always 29. Where'd you go to college? And what do you do for, like, it's like 35. As old as you are, you know what I mean? What happens after that conversation? Like, why isn't it, like, after high school, after college? Like,
yeah, well, I think so those
generic.
Are natural,
I can see where
those are natural
from.
Life markers that people who, you know, are used to networking try and kind of hold to because it's an easy conversation. It's like asking about the weather. Oh, you saw it was snowing out today. Or, man, that Chicago ice, black ice, whatever.
Right.
When it comes down to it,
South
there's...
They have black ice over there.
My car was slipping all over the place. Those guys. But something I've learned is asking, like, different questions when you talk to people. So how do you spend your time is
an
easier way.
Give some of yours.
Yeah, I mean, how do you spend your time is an easy way to ask someone what they do, but it's not so pointed because, you know, I think I told you guys a little bit about this, but I just started a YouTube show called Redefine Work, and it's in partnership with Entrepreneur Magazine, and the whole goal behind it is fun and redefining your definition of work. And for me, like, we just shot the intro video the other day and we're laughing because we're like, oh, people
with
ask
Mara,
us
right?
With Mara Gon. She's a producer.
So that's how you pronounce her last name.
Yes. Oh, don't worry. It took me a while. She has
actually has it phonetically spelled.
It's phonetic on her card. Amazing. She creates really quality video. And I partnered with her because of that. And we're sitting there talking in our intro video about how it's so hard for us to describe our jobs. My mom and dad are always asked, they're proud of me, but they're always like, oh, so when are you going to get a job? So understanding that the question of what do you do for a living is complicated, especially in the startup world, especially in our space of work, and being able to say, how do you spend your time? I spend my time throwing parties and allowing businesses to connect with their clients on a different level where they're having fun. So asking different ways, I think, is really important. I've had someone say, like, what are your three favorite things to do when they walk up to me at a party, or what are three differentiating things or unique things about you?
They had a TEDx Midwest where it said, ask me about something underneath their...
Yeah, and then
that was pretty...
You fill
cool.
that in on your
And then
name
it was
tag.
Really funny looking at people that weren't market experts that's like, ask me about that, and like, you don't even know anything about... Actually, that'd be fun just to ask you to see what...
Yeah.
That would be.
It's gonna be
so that's, you know, as we come to the final, kind of final thoughts on this... one of the things I think it's interesting, you brought up one thing that I want to, like, go nuts on for a second. I don't want to fight. The name tag stuff.
Yeah.
Like Mindspring, they have the name tags, but they do have the card.
Yeah, I like that.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I
won last week.
What?
Dude,
I left 2 minutes early. Aren't you
so
glad
awesome.
You didn't leave without? Oh my.
Wait, didn't I win when I wasn't there once?
Yeah, you won a Kindle, and I'm like, Michael, guess what happened when you didn't show up?
That's what happens. I'm invited to a lot of events. I try my best to get to all of them.
I was like, yeah, they repicked.
That's okay.
Well,
someone else deserved it.
It wasn't
my time.
Congratulations on your win, buddy.
Thank you very much.
My condolences on your leaving early
okay.
and loss.
Someone is really excited about that.
What I cannot, I refuse to wear name tags. That's just, we're not
I don't
doing
wear
this.
Name tags.
I don't do name tags. So what I think would be nice to solve the two problems, the reason that I went in the revolving door other than the face I didn't like, is if there was, and this is something I think you are in a unique position to do mm-hmm. now that you've teamed up with Brandless because of the social media and mm-hmm. the marketing and like the creativity behind the experience you're creating.
Yeah.
Getting rid of the need for a name. Obviously, people can, I think giving a name tag makes it awkward. I know some people think it's helpful that someone comes up, hi, Mark, is it? I think
and they look right at your chest.
Yeah, it's
weird. Always awkward as
it's
a girl.
Very awkward.
Yeah,
like,
we gotta find a different spot for that.
I know.
Yeah, but see, it's just problematic. So it's like, I think it takes away from the ability to like walk around and have to meet people and actually intently listen to get their name and where they work because mm-hmm. it's not just written there.
I think it's good for people that are new to the business.
Yeah.
Right? But I think also, I mean, I'll wait till you're done with your point because
sure.
I want to ask Michael a question about that. But I think it's good for people that are new. I don't wear a name tag because I just don't.
Because we're badasses and we don't.
VIP.
See, we're the exact opposite of this. You go in with no name tag because you want to be incognito. I go with no name tag and I show up 10, 15 minutes late because I want to open with an entrance.
Hello.
You stand
I'm
out
Scott,
everyone has to be like, who are you? And you're like, don't worry about it.
Right.
And, yeah, no, I'm not that guy. It's fine. Actually, I kind of am that guy.
Kind of are that guy.
Anyway, but what I was getting at, though, is with that, mm-hmm. to take away from the experience of having to have that awkward, like, so, Frank, what are you up to? What's new? I think it'd be amazing if you had a digital list. Every person checks in with it with their app or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And then at the end of it, as part of your thank you message to everybody, you furnish a list of every single person who went on there and their preferred contact address and sort of like a little blurb or whatever the thing is so that I can be like, oh, you know what? I missed out on meeting so-and-so. This is what they do. And it sort of creates more of a unified type of scenario where people, like you said, Amory, are awkward or not really good at this. Don't miss out.
Well, you get the buy-in.
There actually is a startup that does that.
I know there's a startup that does it, but I mean,
like the badges and then it has someone's initials and then it's...
Oh, there's a bunch of different types of solutions. I'm not saying that, but I think that events... Every event thrower has to know that. They mm-hmm. have to be able to find it. Why not be the person who not only throws the event, markets the event, gets the guest list, gets the followers, and does that, follows through with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in that type of follow-up with the guests because you create a community at that event, so it's okay to share. It's just about getting the buy-in. Sometimes people don't want their information shared. You know how people are with their emails and the lists and all that. And the company you're talking about, I believe, is Proxfinity.
Yeah.
I just read about them in BizBash the other day. I haven't met her,
but they actually have a patent on it.
I've heard pretty cool things.
Yeah.
But badge scanning is something that's really been around for a few years with the same kind of idea of having name tags, badges at events, and the scanning of them was something that we steered away from at Tech Week.
Yeah.
And I'm going... The point about this is how Anne-Marie said she doesn't always like having a name tag. She don't want someone up while acting like they know you. And the same thing with your badges and badge scanning. You don't want people just like going through the crowd and scanning everyone's information and then leaving. The goal of an event is for people to sit there and ask your name and mm-hmm. talk to you. So mm-hmm. at some networking events, the name tag is an icebreaker because it allows for you to engage in conversation. But other times, not having them or not having the badge scanning capabilities, it encourages people to talk to each other a bit more and encourage you to actually have that handshake and exchange cards when you choose to, or follow up with other people that might know that person to find the actual connection. We're looking to have, in this digital world, more human connection. So there are really great times for badge scanning capabilities or the ability to share information outside of the room digitally, but I think it's really important to continue to have the handshake and looking someone in the eye and asking them questions.
The only thing I'm not a fan of is when my name's on the list that I'm attending.
Yeah, that's I got to figure out a way around that.
But it's hard because some people like that. So you just have to know your audience and know who's coming. And if it's a general networking event, then it's okay because you want to see who else is going to be there. Okay,
maybe
that's great.
Maybe I should put Julie Pachinski on it next time.
You should, use fake names.
That's my fake name since I was 19.
Yeah, I've been with you when you've met people as Julie.
My pen name until I actually started publishing things.
I thought you just said pet.
Well, yeah, my pet name. Let's not get weird. My pen name was Larry Dickman.
Wasn't
Scott get weird?
Let's not insert your name.
Got weird. That was my name.
Like
it was my pet name for everything.
And the name of your street is your porn star
name,
right?
Also.
What is it?
Your pet's name and the name of the street that you grew up on
your
is your porn
pet,
star
right?
name. Yeah, I'm Nikki
Spike
Levitt.
Trip.
Nikki
Crazy.
Levitt over here.
Spike Trip.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have...
You should take mine.
I'll take your name. It's fine.
You can take Spike Trip.
But yeah, you know, the last thing I would throw before we wrap this up, I mean... One thing that you brought up was the badges. I think what would be really cool is if it was like Boy Scouts, where you have like a little vest you wear when you go to these parties. And
you
put
get
on,
badges.
You get badges for like being like the
I
jerk,
my,
the lamp
I got
guy,
my
the guy
networking bead.
I got like 36.
I got my Technori bead.
I got 36 badges for like the guy who was just trashed at the party. Like, hey, most popular. What's up?
Oh my God. It's just like a little thing of Advil for the next day.
A whole bracelet of Technori beads.
Here's a glass of wine and here's a Pedialyte for the road.
Right.
Thank you so much for coming to the show and joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
I want to leave it to you to end.
I like to mic drop, but you always want to.
I love
the
mic drop. We don't have any. Well, either way, before we end out of this thing, make sure you check this episode on Advisor TV, stream us on WGN Plus app, or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter at WGN Turning Point.
She needs to say what.
Oh, Michael, yeah. Where do we go? Where do we go to find it?
Red Suede Shoes Co. on Twitter and Instagram, Red Suede Shoes on Facebook, Brandless Group on all the others, and. re_define_work for redefine work on
Very
YouTube.
Cool.
So there's a lot of places to find me.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of places.
She basically just said the alphabet.
Yeah,
ABCD.
Just shoot me an email, michael@redsuedeshoes.com.
Yeah, do that. We're going to talk to you about the art of an acronym.
The art of an acronym.
Yeah.
Okay. RSS.
People remember it better. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I guess we're just closing out because
we're just bye.
Bye. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Southside.